This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
As we welcome you back inside the Coliseum, I think we need to present Billis the Packer and Durham coaster in exchange for some of the things he's awarded us, right?
Well, I mean, now that his house is cleaned out because Wendy forced him to take all his junk to our house, and now you got a new collection.
That was awesome. Congratulations.
You'll be getting this back next week. She'll come to your place and drop it off.
I suspect by the time I leave here, it's going to be on my doorstep. Oh, Billis has already been by the house. How you doing?
Great. Great. You are always the, I think you represent the tenor and tone of college athletics and a lot of things, especially basketball. I can't remember a more interesting last 16, 18 hours, Jay, in this sport and in sports and in America, to be honest.
Well, to say it's unprecedented is an understatement.
Sure.
We've never seen anything like this in our lifetimes. And I think for the most part, it has been handled very well. The governing bodies of the different sports have stepped forward and struck, for the most part, the right tone. This has moved very fast, and decisions have been made. So you can see who has been prepared and who has not. But I think, you know, just to the decision made by the NCAA yesterday, I thought it was a very good and appropriate decision to announce that the NCAA tournament would be played with no spectators.
Right.
The only thing that very small thing relative to the global pandemic we're dealing with is I think it would have been far better to have coordinated it with the conferences. So you had the NCAA saying no fans for our tournament. And that's a very good intermediate step to what a lot of people think will ultimately be cancellation. You don't have to cancel now. The tournament doesn't start till next week. Mm-hmm. But that was a fair step and a smart one. But just down the street from the NCAA office in Indianapolis, you had the Big Ten playing with fans.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute, why didn't we coordinate this? And then last night here in this building, there were two games with fans. And for hours, the NCAA put that statement out where Mark Emmert said, I decided to do this. And you're like, well, it should have been we.
Yeah.
And it should have been as a responsibility of a governing body to make sure that its members have the appropriate information and everything's coordinated properly. And I don't think that was.
Do you think we'll have basketball today?
No, I don't. Reasonable minds can differ on this. This is not anything that requires any sort of panic. But this is a global health crisis, and it's a national health crisis that needs to be dealt with. And I'm sure you guys have read and heard all the same things I have. I've last several days been reading all these articles about trying to turn this spike into a softer curve, so that we don't overwhelm the healthcare system. And now, you know, I'm getting over my skis. I should be talking about who the best point guard is, but that's important stuff that goes way beyond sports and way beyond basketball. That probably doesn't need to be said, but we maybe need to remind ourselves of that this goes beyond it. It is a very difficult look for colleges to shut down their campuses, suspend class, tell their students not to come back, and for the NBA to have paid professionals. We will not put paid professionals on the floor to play while this is happening, and then we're going to trot out amateurs to play for money. That's going to be a hard sell.
Yeah.
And now maybe there's a good justification for it, and if there is, I'm waiting to hear it, but I haven't heard one yet.
Yeah. It also brings to mind something that you often talk about, the synergy between the private and public universities, whereas the Ivy League, we just had Dallin Cuff on. The Ivy League was very quick. It's private schools all the way around. Mark and I were talking about states. He's got a daughter in school in South Carolina. I have a daughter in school in Florida and a son in school in the state of Georgia. Florida has made their decision with Florida State and their state universities. Public schools in varying areas differ here. I mean, we're starting to see, we got to see some congruency, do we not?
I think so, and to really have to make a statement about what our priorities are, and look, I would love to see the games go on.
Sure,
we all would, but I think right now, given the climate and given where we are in this, and what we have learned and what we know, and then also what we don't know, it strains the mind to think that there is at least one and perhaps more NBA players that were exposed to the coronavirus. But it hasn't hit the college players. when there are far more of them.
That's right.
Cut from a wider swath of the country. And the ACC now, as you guys well know, goes all up and down the Eastern Seaboard and into the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that the players are going to be, you know, going at one another in an environment even without fans. I mean, that's obviously a different issue for the number of people that would be in here and then leave here and spread, potentially spread a sickness. But the players are of major importance in this too. And at some point you got to say this one, it's not right, and two, it doesn't look right. And how do we explain this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a little bit of a little bit more caution in this is going to be the way that the conferences go. And it's the conference's decision.
Sure.
That's the interesting part.
Well, once again, we saw how that differed yesterday too.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it, you know, and that's why the coordination issue is so important to me, is that the NCAA, the governing body, the office up in Indianapolis has all the information. They've got the medical panel. And I would imagine has been working on this for quite some time, that this isn't a surprise to them. But the announcement yesterday should not have been a surprise to the conferences, and I believe that it was.
All right, let's switch gears and assume we are going to play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I know you were on yesterday on SiriusXM with us and goofing around. The sensory overload of normally 23,000 in here. And now what you hear and what you see behind us is what you're going to get when we tip off with Florida State and Clemson. As a player, does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to notice it.
Without a question, but players play, right?
Yeah. I mean, once the game, I think it'll be like the equivalent of having a preseason closed scrimmage.
Right.
You know, like when North Carolina and Gonzaga play, like they're playing their tails off. There's nobody there to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, it's great competition. It'll certainly be surreal for everyone involved. And look, it's not lost on the players and coaches, the backdrop of this. Like, look, coaches are asking, how can we play?
Sure they are.
They're asking that. And they're looking for guidance right now too. And because the coaches can't just come out, they don't feel like they can come out and say, hey, listen, I understand that right now the league says we're playing. We're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to take their team and walk. They're going to do it in a coordinated fashion with their league. But they're feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. And it's legitimate.
What about from a broadcasting perspective? We go player, that's your answer. How about from a broadcasting perspective?
Well, we've always wanted to do golf.
That's a good question. I don't really know. We joked about it last night on your radio show, is that it'll remind me of my roots when I was doing games when nobody watched them anyway. But there was nobody there because nobody cared about the games I was doing. But what I had said last night to some of our crew when we were talking about how are we going to come on the air, my suggestion was just how I'm feeling is basically tell our audience, we're going to get through this together because we're feeling the same thing you are. We're flying blind in this. We're going to give you whatever information we can. We're going to try to pivot and present the game, but still understanding that there are bigger things surrounding the game that we all need to be mindful of.
But here's part three of the question. As a viewer or a listener, I think it's going to be fascinating if we play. Again, we're on the premise that we're going to play.
Yeah. Sure.
If I'm sitting at home on the couch or I'm driving around listening to it on radio, you know, to me, the sense of sound, noise, is always the cool thing about college basketball because it's constant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, not only do I hear the sneakers, but I hear a coach over there. I hear a referee. I hear an announcer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been here for the last couple hours. I mean, we've heard every noise in the place.
Oh, I mean, is that right?
It's really kind of eerie. But I think it's going to be fascinating from a viewer standpoint that you get this shot that we're showing you right now that, hey, you know what? I'm going to hear things maybe I've never heard before in the college basketball game.
I mean, it's possible. I had read something this morning. I hadn't really contemplated all that stuff. I'd read something this morning about games in the NCAA tournament, if it goes forward, being on a 7-second delay.
Probably a good idea.
Well, I guess. That's probably the reason why. I hadn't really thought about
it. Like radio show.
That's a great point. Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you, I want to get the bigger perspective on this, and I'm going to tell you that I should tell you that FIBA has just announced, by the way, in the last 15 minutes, they've suspended all competitions until at least June.
Mm-hmm.
So the next major FIBA, and this is international basketball, including the Olympics, would be for the Olympic qualifiers in June. So that's a fairly big swipe by an organization that sees the game globally.
Yes.
And that's worth mentioning here. If the conferences, Jay, in your mind, step out today, John Swofford, Greg Sankey, all of them, and say, you know what, we're not going to do these conference tournaments. Is there any way we play next week?
No.
That's what I think.
No. I don't see that we're going to do it anyway. I think the die is cast in that, and it's inevitable that the NCAA is going to have to say we are suspending play and we cannot hold the tournament for public health reasons. I think that's the prudent decision.
Sure.
And I think they have, I think the NCAA has taken this step by step and has done it in almost as good a fashion as you can.
Okay.
You know, like I mentioned the coordination piece and all that. I would have liked to have seen better job there, but, you know, the broad strokes, they're getting it right. You know, you didn't need to cancel first. You needed to say, okay, no fans. We're going to take these measures. Mm-hmm. But the next step, there's still plenty of time. The next step is to cancel. Because with, you know, to your point, Wes, about FIBA, you've got the NBA. I don't think it's right to play, but it certainly doesn't feel right. And it is going to be hard to explain, in a rearview mirror going forward.
All right. I'm going to go positive. We're going to play. We got four games. Of the four favorites, who is the one most in the, better be careful here today.
Be careful that you may lose?
Yeah.
All of them. I mean, if we've learned anything this season is, you know, I think you.
But we've learned though in this league, the 4-1-2-3s and fours are cut above.
Yeah, they're better, but that doesn't mean they're not going to lose a game.
For one game.
Yeah. Like how many times have we come into this tournament and the higher seed has gotten clipped by a team that shouldn't play with them? You know, they control the tempo. And who knows the effect that all of the surrounding issues will have on players and teams. But, you know, I think we've all talked about this with one another before. Like, I don't think anybody can win this tournament. I don't think anybody can win the NCAA tournament if it's played. But everybody can lose. Like, everybody can lose. And that may be a distinction without a difference to some people, but anybody can slip on it. It's been proven all year long that if you don't play well, like in years past, the best teams could play less than their best and still win. That's not been the case this year. And it's been a year like I've never seen, or at least I couldn't remember. I think 2010, 2011 maybe were similar.
Yep.
But they weren't quite like this. And maybe 2013 in this league, you know, it wasn't as good of a year. You only had four teams in the tournament, whatever it was. So you could point back to that. But the volatility that we saw in the game, I can't remember.
Jay, with no crowd, does that give an edge to a team, or is it, the guy with the better players wins?
Well, no, I wouldn't say the latter.
You get into runs as an underdog. That's one of the beauties
sometimes,
of the sport, right?
Sometimes there's a momentum factor that maybe the crowd gets behind you and you're buoyed by it a little bit. I tend to think that Virginia might have a little bit of an advantage, like not an advantage, but with their tempo control, they're not going to have to need the crowd. I mean, that's a patience test for whatever opponent Virginia has in any game is, can you keep your patience for 40 minutes? And maybe for fans too, can you keep your patience for 40 minutes?
Can you watch? Can you just hang on with us here while we wind the clock down?
Well, to me, again, if I'm sitting on the couch watching games, I will be incredibly intrigued by what I'm going to hear, much less what I'm going to see. Because, like I said, I think you're going to hear things you've never heard before in a broadcast.
Yeah. I
may be nuts about that, but I don't think so.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's a fair point. The one thing we do.
If you ever wanted to hear what Mike Krzyzewski says during a game.
You won't be able to hear that. he's pretty good about where he. But, you know, there are games that we have where there's not a large crowd. And so they're going to be more than just the teams out there. There's going to be some family members and a few spectators. Yeah. It's not going to be
it's
what
kinda
we
like
normally.
Our show. You got the dogs and a few stranglers are in the backyard.
But like remember the old play-in game they used to have?
I mean, the 8-9.
Yeah, there was nobody here for those games. And you couldn't hear everything that was going on. It won't be so bad in that regard.
Billis, would you be quiet? We're trying to watch the game.
That's said all the time. They say it in unison.
That's a good point. That's when you know you've arrived. By the way, when it's in unison.
Yeah. Or should leave.
Yeah, that's right. Which is close, by the way.
Appreciate your help.
Great to be with you guys.
Yeah, you're the best. And we'll see what happens here. This could be a very interesting next couple hours.
Yeah, and the good news is, though, the people in charge and making these decisions are trustworthy, and they are on top. I believe on top of it.
Can I throw one more question?
Sure. Right,
I know Jay's got to go.
Yeah, he's got to go.
If we have basketball and if we have March Madness, the pod system in lining up teams. I know I asked you this yesterday, but I think it's something of note because they've always tried to get teams and players and fans nearby. Do you think that changes?
I don't think they can. I don't think there's time enough to pivot in order to be able to say, okay, let's put, instead of sending, you know, everybody in this Maryland region out to Boise or whatever, let's send them here like they had years ago. I don't think they can pivot that quickly. But somebody's going to have to travel. There's no way you can have a 68-team tournament and not travel people. If we're saying it is okay to travel anywhere on an airplane and put people in hotels and do all this stuff, then we've got to be able to say a 4-hour ride, a 2-hour ride, a 1-hour ride, what's the difference? It's either safe and the right thing to do to play or it's not. I mean, this is a bright line decision in my judgment. And I don't think the idea that, hey, like when we were talking no spectators.
Right.
Only. Well, it made good sense to say, okay, let's not play in Mercedes-Benz Arena. We can play somewhere else. And there are certainly accommodations you can make there and change some things. But when we're talking about public health, then it's either play or not. And if we can't play, you know, locally or all that, so if we have to decide locally or far away, we can't play.
Final thing here. What you know about the logistics of the National Collegiate Athletic Association, can they postpone this and push it into the latter part of the spring?
I doubt it.
Okay.
And I think part of that will be television partners.
Okay.
I think it would be, you know, the NBA is saying this is going to be a while. So even if you pushed it into May or all that stuff, I think it would be very difficult to do.
Okay.
Because now you're talking arena availability, hotels, all these things that go around it. It would be a logistical nightmare. The Wes and Mark, money is still a big factor here, mm-hmm. and it's okay for that to be the case. There's nothing wrong with making decisions based upon finances as long as the public health issue is first. Mm-hmm. But these decisions, the NCAA tournament, are going to be made along with an insurance carrier.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's $1 billion at least at stake here for the NCAA. Now, the conferences don't have the same sort of coverage because it's only one venue. So they're willing to take that risk, and it would be very difficult to insure this kind of thing. Mm. The amount of money it would take to insure it would you'd be self-insuring anyway. Right. So, the conferences would lose money by stopping play today. They'd lose a lot of money. And those are important considerations, but I'm not sure they're important enough to overwhelm the public health issue.
All right, we've kept you too long. We apologize.
No, thank you. You're now yelling at us. Hey, enough with Billis. He's not. We're done.
No, keep him. We don't want him on. Keep him.
It's yours.
Commissioner of the ACC, John Swofford, set to join Packer and Durham Bottom.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
From the Greensboro Coliseum Complex, do appreciate Jay Billis and his insight. The Commissioner of the ACC, John Swofford, scheduled to join us in about the next 10 minutes or so. Certainly looking forward to that conversation, and we'll get the latest on what's going on. Big picture, we hope to have basketball, but again, who knows with this fluid situation.
Well, the other thing, too, is if you're in the ACC footprint, you follow or support a specific institution, you can see where already schools across the ACC have either minimized attendance or suspended not only classes, I want to say Clemson, Florida State. I know Florida State has, because my daughter's in school there, that their spring break scheduled to start this weekend, and then they're going to push 2 weeks after that for online teaching only. And I know several institutions have done that in the last 24 to 36 hours.
And I know this is a very serious topic that we've addressed today, and that we will continue to be, but I have to ask you.
Yeah.
On a totally separate issue.
Right.
What's up with the tie?
Oh, the tie. This tie, by the way, there's a reason I'm wearing the tie today and not other times.
Today, I thought we had a rule.
Well, we do. We do, but this is a bit of an exception.
Okay.
I am scheduled to do the first two games with our friend Bob Valvano on ESPN Radio this afternoon.
Okay.
Looking forward to that. The State and Duke game and Clemson and Florida State. You know how I am about this event and why I love this event. It's because my dad loved this event. And this tie belonged to my dad. It's about 25, 26 years old. And the first time we did an ACC tournament together in 1996, he and I had the same tie. it was this tie. I cycled mine out years ago, but I found his this past fall and decided, you know what? I'm going to wear a tie. I usually have a little microphone lapel pin from time to time. Yeah. That's to honor my dad. That was his. And today I'm going to wear a tie he wore at the first ACC tournament we ever broadcast together in 1996.
Well, that's a great story.
Yeah. So that's why this is the tie. It's a Nicole Miller tie. It looks 26 years old, by the way it's cut, but that's why I have the tie. This is my dad's. It was a Nicole Miller microphone tie. And then there was another design, which you told me you had.
Yeah, I got rid of mine like 25 years ago.
That's about right. Yeah. And this one, fortunately in HD, some of the flaws of it are not showing up, but it's shown its age if you look carefully.
So. Well, I did do a double take when you walked up the steps this morning that you had a tie on.
Well, you wore a suit for show 100.
Well, that was it. And you will not see me in another suit unless proven otherwise.
Show 200?
Today's 140. You think we got 60 more in us?
I was going to wear a suit for your birthday.
Which technically is October,
March 10th,
yeah, according to the internet.
That's
a great story. Then I won't go hard on you.
No, I like that. Yeah, that's why I wore the tie. And he used to wear ties at the tournament all the time. He got on me one time when I didn't wear a tie, which was
old school.
Yeah.
See, I will say that might be a difference between Woody and Billy, because Billy dresses worse than I do, and Billy wouldn't care.
Billy Packer at the ACC tournament epitomized khaki pants, blue blazer, a shirt and a tie.
Yeah, and he'd have a...
And a grocery bag full of material.
As his briefcase, he would carry literally a Food Lion grocery bag.
Sponsor.
With stuff in it.
Sponsor.
No, he just found it. He wasn't going to buy anything. It would be nice. He wouldn't look like he's kept. And poor Barb would say the same thing to Billy as my wife says to me. You're going out that way? You're dressed that way? I'm like, hey, I'm not worried about it.
You know, I thought of... our fathers and the forefathers of ACC media a lot last night when the announcement came down that there would be a limited audience for this event the rest of the way. Thought of Ron Green Sr., Smith Barrier, Dick Herbert, Bill Brill.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Speer, guys that used to write and chronicle the ACC. I thought of Jim Phillips, my dad, Wally Osley, Gene Overby, even though he's still with us, Bob Harris, guys who broadcast this event for years and years and years on radio.
Every game.
And then to, hey, by the way, we're going to take the fan line out of it. And this year, for the first time, there is not an entity that is broadcasting every tournament game on radio for the first time. That's changed. And now here we are dealing with a, health situation in our country that is serious. And yet the media... Today, old and new technology will be your link to this event.
I tell you what I thought about last night was the city of Greensboro.
Yeah.
Because this town, and we've kind of talked about this even last week with the women's tournament and certainly this week on the show, like your favorite pair of jeans, your favorite shoes. Man, this is what Greensboro is, the ACC tournament. It just fits right.
Yep.
Right? Again, and we keep talking about the arena. Does it have all the bells and whistles to others? No.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It just, right. And I feel bad for ACC fans who circle the calendar and say, man, I'll see you next year. Right? I mean, that's part of the tradition of this tournament is that you see friends and fans of other schools. Hey, we'll rendezvous next year, wherever the tournament's going to be. I'll see you in section whatever in between sessions. And that would happen by the hundreds of people, right?
Yeah.
And now, like,
the parking lot of this building proved to be one of the great melting pots in conference history.
And driving in here this morning at 5, whatever time it was, and, the lights were on, and there's like 15 cars in the parking lot. Yeah, I remember getting out of the Ford F-150 this morning going, I just can't believe that we're walking into a place today that if you ever had one of those ticket books, it was like gold.
Yep.
Like, man, oh, my God, I've got a ticket to the ACC tournament. And today, nobody has that ticket. That ticket doesn't exist. And it just seems almost surreal as we're sitting here getting ready for the, hopefully, basketball today. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
From the Greensboro Coliseum, an amazing 24 hours. What do we have in store? We're getting ready to find out. We're now joined by the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, Mr. Swafford. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, but man, the last 24 to 48 hours has been, quite frankly, unbelievable.
Well, it's been extraordinary. You know, certainly a set of circumstances that we're dealing with that we've never dealt with before. It's unprecedented in American sports and is much bigger than the sport world, but much more important than the sport world. And it's worldwide. So it's very fluid. Obviously changes daily. So hopefully we're making the right decisions as we go forward.
When you decided yesterday, the NCAA, I guess it was about 90 minutes or so, maybe 2 hours after the NCAA announcement, you made the announcement, probably decision before it was released, so give a half hour here or there. The comprehensive move there, how involved were not only the presidents and ADs of this conference, but your fellow commissioners at the other leagues? Was there consultation across the board with those guys?
Yes, we had been having some discussions going into the week as we started our respective tournaments, Wes. And we'll have another discussion this morning, quite frankly. The A5 commissioners have grown an ability to work together very, very well recently. And I think that's important for now. It's important going forward to share best practices and decisions that are being made. So there were conversations with that group. Then we called our presidents and athletics directors together, which is our normal way of making critical decisions of this nature. We had had a series of calls with our presidents and athletics directors, so that was not the first call about this subject, obviously, because I think it's important that they be very involved in a consensus way with making decisions of that magnitude. So we've got a good group of presidents, a good group of athletic directors, and it flowed well.
It's 9:34 a.m. Eastern Time. Are we going to have basketball today in Greensboro?
Yes, we are. We're going to have we're going to have basketball, and each team will have 150 tickets.
150
for players and families and administrative personnel and so forth. Bands and cheerleaders will be here at the discretion of their respective institutions. All credentialed media will be here. Television will go on as is. And that's important so people can see the games. And we want this to be the best experience for the players that it can be given the circumstances. It's not what they expected. It's not what you would want as an ideal situation. But when that's what you have in front of you, you make the best out of it and make it the best experience for the most important people that are out here, and that's our players.
Has there been a conversation to not have the tournament?
Not really. Very briefly, you know, you could have just eliminated the tournament, but we all felt that we wanted our players to have the opportunity to play. In an odd kind of way, this is certainly something that will be remembered. These players will be telling their kids and their grandkids about this tournament for the rest of their lives because of the uniqueness of it. And hopefully then we can move on forward. It'll be an experience that they've never had before, we've never had before, and hopefully it'll work out well.
Let me ask you this. In the circle you're keeping right now, I know that the governor of the state of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, is a huge ACC basketball fan, and this event in this state means a lot to him personally as well as the economy of the state. I've got to imagine you're in an interesting circle now in trying to measure whether this is the right thing to do, right? I mean, I'd be fascinated to know kind of how those conversations and your personal philosophies have worked entwined with the ADs and the presidents and the folks tied to this event one way or another.
Well, Governor Cooper's been terrific, and he is a fan of the ACC, has been his entire life. He's a basketball fan.
Yeah.
He's a former basketball player, played against Phil Ford a long time ago. And so he's interested, just as he's interested in the entire state and the well-being of our citizens. And he's been good enough to keep us in contact with his medical advisors on a regular basis. Those conversations have been going on for several weeks at the state level, at the local level, as well as at the national level. So there's been no lack of input along the way. The nature of that input has changed day to day, both nationally and to some degree at the state level. But you know, a commissioner is not qualified to make the kind of decision without having input from the people who really understand this as best anyone can understand what we're facing right now. And that's gone very well. I've been pleased with that process and pleased with the input from the appropriate people. I feel badly for Charlotte, or for Greensboro, excuse me, because this city, and this area put so much into this tournament. It's hosted our tournament 27, times, and most of any venue. We live here. The ACC is 365 days a year for the city of Greensboro. And so my heart bleeds a bit for them, as well as the fans who make this tournament, along with the players and coaches, what it has been and what it is. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances. But always the primary issue with something like this is the safety of the fans and everybody else involved with the event. And we feel like at this given point in time, this was the right decision to make.
Commissioner, walk us through, if you don't mind, what took place yesterday in terms of Mark Emmert making his statement around 4:30, conversations leading up to that, and then afterwards in terms of what you had to do.
Well, candidly, there were no conversations yesterday leading up to that. We received an email at 4:35 yesterday telling us what the NCAA was announcing in terms of next week, and we rolled from there. I immediately came down to the office down on floor level under the seats and called the appropriate people together from my staff, set up a phone call with our presidents and athletics directors. Brought them up to date as to what had occurred and why from the NCAA. There were a few more updates that were going on yesterday as well that you're well aware of, I'm sure, in terms of potential NBA decisions being one, which ultimately came, and some reports to Congress, which went on yesterday, which took things to another level. So, and I think that really emphasizes the fluidity and the speed with which things change day to day with what we're collectively facing worldwide, not just in the States. And so we made a decision at that point in time to take this action and felt that was the prudent thing to do given the information that we had in hand at that point in time. And that's all you can do in making these decisions. You make the best decision you feel like you can make with the information you have when you have it. And then that changes. Unfortunately, we had really hoped, because we felt appropriate in starting the tournament, and we hoped and expected to get through our tournament, and then we would all look toward the NCAA tournament, knowing things were changing progressively, and change came quicker than we anticipated. So that's when we made the decision, and then, you know, needed to internally communicate appropriately and make some decisions appropriately before announcing it.
Is, you say fluid, hour to hour, day to day, or we don't know what fluid is?
Well, fluid changes, Wes. I think in this situation, we It's all of those. Yesterday it became hour to hour.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it had been more week to week and then day to day, and then it became hour to hour yesterday.
Well, I can't wait to read the last chapter of your book because it's going to be in there, isn't it?
Well, it will be in there. I wish there wasn't a chapter necessary for this, but it's a challenging situation for everybody, and it's a very important situation for our country and our world and our fans and our players and our families. And hopefully this decision and those that come later are the right decisions, whether they're sports decisions or not.
You can't compare this with anything else, but what did you lean on from an experience standpoint to say, hey, listen, I'm going to make the right decision here?
Well, there's no textbook for something like this. In crises, I think you have to make certain you're bringing the right people together. I think you have to get as much information from the right sources as you can possibly get. And I think you have to maintain your calmness and make sure you're communicating with the appropriate people, such as our presidents and our athletics directors, and ideally have a full consensus on what is the right direction. And we had that.
That's probably the most important piece, right? I mean, that everybody who you work with on a regular basis, the 15 institutions, which we've talked about in our visits with you, are so critical to the success of what this is. And I got to feel like your colleagues, Greg Sankey, Bob Bowlesby, Larry Scott, on and on,
right?
They've done the same thing.
They have. And
that's important in the new world we're living in college athletics.
It's very important, Wes. We compete with each other. Mm-hmm. There's no question there's a competitive nature among the five of us. But we also understand we live in the world together, and together we're a lot stronger than we are pulled apart. Same thing within the conference itself. This league has prided itself for many years on having a culture of trust and cohesion. And when these kinds of situations happen and come along, that's when your culture kicks in. And fortunately, this league has an outstanding culture as well as outstanding people.
I want to ask you, we've talked about the basketball tournament, the logistics in the tournament. We know what the NCAA's plan is at the hour for next week. You've got a full conference spring schedule ahead of you. We have institutions in the conference footprint who are either going to spring break, coming off spring break, and have added a couple of weeks of online learning behind it, trying to minimize their campuses. And social distancing is a term we're now becoming familiar with. How will you follow the lead on the spring sports schedule? Have you thought about what that will look like after the basketball tournament is complete here?
We have. We have not finalized it and therefore have not announced anything, but obviously that's next on the docket, both for regular season competition as well as championships. And I think the foundation for that has already been built. As you mentioned, a number of our institutions are making very important and critical decisions, just like this one, in regards to classes and how and when those are going to be conducted going forward. So there's a lot going on each of our individual campuses that are unrelated to sports, but decisions that are being made that certainly will impact the spring sports going forward. So, we started that, and we'll be defining that no later than next week.
Can you envision of the Power Five tournaments, some happening and some not moving forward? I know it's a kind of a crystal ball question. You can only control what you can control, but or was that kind of a unified front that, hey, we're going to go play?
Well, I think in terms of the A5, it was unified, and a few other conferences that I talked directly with, the Big East and the A10, because of relationships there with Val Ackerman and Bernadette McGlade, who used to work with us here at the ACC. And going forward, we'll just have to see. crystal balling is really difficult right now.
Right.
That crystal ball that you think you see isn't even lasting 24 hours sometimes now, obviously. So at least we won't have a gun to our head as we look at the spring sports. We've got a little more time to sort of think through that. But that was we had all of our ADs at a brunch at Sedgefield yesterday morning, and we had it with some other people and had a meeting of our ADs after that to talk about the spring beyond basketball. And so that discussion is well down the road, and we'll be prepared for it and hopefully continue to provide an experience that is as good as it can be given the circumstances for our athletes, and determine whether it's safe for them and those around them to continue to compete. But that's what athletes like to do, is compete. So hopefully they'll be able to continue to do so.
Play ball, 12:30, Florida State Clemson.
Packer and Durham.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
12:30. Top seed Florida State will be here against Clemson. They split the regular season meetings, first of four in the quarterfinals. All available on ESPN today here from the Coliseum in Greensboro. Dan Shulman and Jay Billis get us started on the television side. Sean McDonough, Dan Dockich have the night session here from the Coliseum.
Getting back to the commissioner a second.
Yep.
The thing that I found the most interesting, number one, we're playing, right?
Yep.
We've been talking about this a lot, and everybody's got their opinion one way or the other, but we're playing. The thing that I found the most interesting from Commissioner Swofford was the response of the commissioners after they had heard from President Emmert, Mark Emmert, making his comment about, I have made the decision, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And I would have assumed that there would have been at least some conversation and some communication prior to, but it didn't. I didn't get the sense from Commissioner Swofford that that were the case.
It did not sound that way, did it?
At all. To me, that was very, very surprising.
What we did hear, though, and this is something you and I have talked about extensively, that the commissioners, the five, are able to get together, moment's notice, in consultation with their respective governs. In other words, in the ACC, certainly it's the presidents and the athletic directors. It may be different in the Big Ten or the Pac-12. I'm not familiar with the infrastructure of those leagues. What is encouraging for college athletics is, in a state of a national emergency, and let's be honest, this is pretty up there, they are able to get together and do something quickly, efficiently, and collaboratively.
That's it.
If I can say that the right way.
You did. And as the commissioner said, hey, we're competitive. We want to win games and when we play. But you know what? When we have to work together, we do. But I go back to that. I was stunned when he said that, you know what, there wasn't any conversation prior to. Here is the announcement at 4:35 p.m. And I mentioned that was right during our off-campus show on SiriusXM. And I just, as soon as I heard it, I went, yikes, here we go.
Right.
And then everybody's hustling behind the scenes with these Power 5 leagues to go, hey, let's figure out how we're going to make this thing work or not work one way or the other. So we are going to have basketball.
But he also said it's fluid, too.
And that's right.
It was hour to hour yesterday.
Right.
It's been day to day. It's been week to week at times leading up to this event. And, you know, when you and I was with him on Monday night, I was with him last Tuesday night at an event, and he was excited to have it back in Greensboro, and I'm with him. I feel badly for the people of Greensboro. I know what this means to the volunteers, the hotels, the restaurants, the folks like that. And I'm hopeful that when they get together to look for the next 3-year window of the ACC tournament, I'm hoping they come back to this building in an effort to, you know, let us have the full wear.
And Commissioner Swofford, as he said, we live here, meaning the ACC headquarters is here. And you and I have talked about this for 5-6 shows now since we're here for the women's tournament, which was here last week. And the NCAA tournament hopefully will be here next week. Hey, you know what? This is a basketball community. This is a yep. town that gets it. This is a town that embraces the ACC tournament. We've harped on it all week. Man, you go to a restaurant, you go to a bar, you walk the street, you run into fans. People are talking hoops. And you know what? Greensboro, that's who I feel bad for today. I told you earlier today when they pulled in at 5:15, whatever time it was, and you're walking around going, man, this place for a day like today in this state, this footprint, man, this is an important deal. So we're going to have hoops. It's going to be different. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to hear it. Because it's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen in the 67 years we've had this event.
Yep. Will be a very, very interesting Thursday. Coverage starts at ESPN at 12:30 with the ball game there. Don't forget Nothing But Net late night at the conclusion of the last quarterfinal. You'll get Kelsey and Luke and Dallin and Booz here with the full breakdown of the day. We're scheduled to be back here tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. And thanks to Josh and Laura and everybody involved. A lot of fun to be here. Thanks to the commissioner, to Jay Billis, to Dallin Cuff, and our friend David Teal for spending a full half hour with us.
Enjoy the hoops. Can't wait. Grab your popcorn. Let's go.
All right.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.